One of the things we did last time when we had this, as some of you who were, those of you who were here last time know, is we had a town meeting, which is what we're into now. And the purpose was partly to get feedback. At that time, it was the first time we did it. We wanted to get feedback on whether you liked the format and advice as to what we might do in the future and so on and so on. And we still want that kind of feedback. It also turned out that that town meeting was a good way for people to exchange views as to how institutes like this, and in particular the ITB, could help in this kind of effort to bring science at the frontiers of research to you, who could then perhaps bring it to your students or to your colleagues. Now, we are going to circulate. Last time we gave you forms to fill out and we got a spotty response, but the response was very helpful. We find it very useful, and we're going to hand out the forms right now so that you might be encouraged to start filling them out and give us the response backwards. It really is important for us. Partly, I'll admit, to continue the support we get from our funding agencies to have some indication that there is some feedback, some response from you all. One of the things I would like to bring up, and this is really in your hands, the people seated around here, the organizers and the speakers, I'm sure would be willing to give you their points of view as well, but we'd like to hear from you and deal with the questions that you raised. One of the things I would like to ask you, and as well as some of the organizers of this meeting and our staff, is on advice about the efforts at outreach we've had to attract people, to tell people about these conferences that we intend to do once a year, and how to get appropriate responses. We found that difficult. The first time, we thought it was because we were new at the game. The second time, we got even more lists. We sent out invitations to, 5,000 of the order of 5,000 high school teachers. The response was disappointing. And I'm sure you can all tell me why. We've heard a variety of theories. But it was disappointing partly because the response was much better last time, and partly because, and we thought we had more lists, we learned how to do this, we presumably had made some impact via the web or via the informal grapevine. So we were very disappointed. Doreen, who did most of the contacting and stands behind you there, was even more disappointed. And so I'd like your feedback as to, one, why we had problems this time. Was it the time of the year? Was it the subject? Was it the wrong list of people we're sending out invitations to? A lot of you are repeats. So, you know, we understand that you like it and you'll come back this year, and we're planning to have one in the string theory area next year, planning to come back next year. But we want a wider audience. This, we could have accommodated quite a few more people. So that's what I would like to hear about in particular, but I'm sure there are other questions that you could bring up. One of the other questions I might be interested in learning is, as you saw, we're doing this experiment of a simultaneous webcast. And we could imagine improving, using our increasing web facilities, or internet communication of what we do at the ITP, both at this meeting and at our public lectures or at our regular conferences, to try to enhance the outreach to high schools, for example. And suggestions along those lines as to what we might do would be useful as well. So with that, I'm going to sit down. Doug, do you have anything you want to say, or do you want to just open it up?
I had just one more thing to say. Dan Bone, Deputy Director of ICT, is here, and somehow I failed earlier to introduce him, and I'd like to introduce him. As David said, we are open, and certainly the people I talked to at lunch had some interesting ideas about our timing and what we might do, and we are very interested in this. And there is one other thing Doreen points out. If people could go to the microphone back where Doreen is, that would help everyone, in particular, I guess, our web viewers. If we could encourage you to do that as well.
So the floor is open, and I think you had a remark. And it would help to use the microphone for people.
I went to the one last year, and your timing was, we had several things in your favor last year. One, the timing was perfect. The letter came out at the very beginning of school. We were still looking at, you know, things to do. And this one came out as school was really grinding along, and I almost didn't, you know, register in time, or at least send my check in time, because finals were coming up, and you get kind of caught up in those things. The other thing that made the other one an instant hit was Kip Thorne. He's kind of well known, and not that you guys aren't. You're phenomenal. Seriously, it's been really great. But what I would love if you could do for the next time is give a list of readings. I went out on the internet and I found out, you know, some of the names of the people here, and I, you know, tried to find out what they had written. But that's, it would be a lot easier if there was something that would, you know, would, if they had gone out last time and said, hey, Kip Thorne's got this great book on black holes, you ought to read it before you come. Then you can ask intelligent questions, and instead of being, you know, as ignorant as I am. I'm sorry, I'm not here. Boring, I'm not out here. The other thing is, I hate that you actually want to spread this out more and more, because it is kind of nice to have this small group, and I don't want to be kicked out of the next one. This is wonderful, absolutely phenomenal, and I just thank you all so much for putting it on. And that's it.
Just a comment on advertising, NSTA. National Science Teachers Association, you get a free advertisement if you just send your information in to them and get it in early enough. And many of us science teachers are members, and we can be glad to.
How many of you are members of NSTA?
Wow.
And what do they have? A newsletter? We haven't used NSTA. Doreen, speak up. You have to express. I mean,
yeah, we
you
used that the very first time around, and I think that's how we got most of you the beginning time. We used that as our basic mailing list through the NSTA. Correct, Brian? NSTA? And we sent it out. That's how we got most of the people from the black holes.
Did we do NSTA this time?
We did the AAPS this
right.
time, plus some.
But we didn't do NSTA.
We did part of it. We did the middle part of the country.
The NSTA was that long list of thousands of...
Right. No, that's the that was the NSTA.
That
right.
was the NSTA.
Right. And we last year we did it primarily right around California and some on and a widespread. This year we did the other list first. Then we did the NSTA in the mid part of the country, which I think we picked up some of you from the mid part.
How many came because of the NSTA announcements or found out about it through NSTA? Right.
If you got it really, really close to when school ended, that was the NSTA mailing. The other one went out right close to the site review.
Do we put it in the bulletin of NSTA?
Yes.
How many of you found out about this from the bulletin of NSTA?
We also put it in the bulletin of the whatever one we got through the site review.
So what do you guys read? I mean, we're...
Yes.
Where, what would catch your attention?
One of the things that she asked, what do we read? Well, we grade lots of papers. So sometimes you see them, sometimes you don't. I was fortunate to see the one last year, and I'm fascinated with black holes. So I thought, oh, cool, black holes. And then I got the thing in the mail this year and said, well, I'm going regardless. I knew what superconductors were, but a suggestion might be, as the other guy said, give us some reading. Or, I mean, you guys are all, we're finding out really famous for what you do, and having spoken with some of you, it's really amazing what you do. But we had no clue. And so something, some background about what it is we're going to hear from you, because we've all sat here spellbound for all day, which, as you know, is hard to get students to do.
The suggestion I was going to make, which is along his lines, instead of giving us a suggested list of readings, is perhaps maybe when you guys go to a symposium or a conference, you get a synopsis of what the speakers are going to talk about prior to that, that you can peruse and see what is going to be spoken about. You don't necessarily have to send that. You can put that on the internet and say, if you're interested, this is what's going to be talked about, this is who's going to do it, this is what they do. And as far as where I heard about it, I've heard about the first one. I looked through, one of the first things I turned to in the NSTA paper is what's being offered. At the very end of it, they have, you know, okay, because it's fascinating. And so I go there and say, well, yeah, I could do that. For me, summertime is not a bad time, because I live relatively close to here, and Santa Barbara's a nice place to be. I think if you wanted to attract more people, probably during the school year would be a better thing. Especially right around March or April, when people are a little fried from grading papers, and you know, for if you live in the Midwest or back East, you know, somewhere between the time the temperature drops below 50 and doesn't rise above 50 for 4 months, you might want to. But for the teachers I work with, and I told the three or four people who would be interested about it, is in the summertime they're doing other things and they're traveling. And I think during the school year, towards the middle of the second semester, would be pretty good timing, because that's when people are looking to take a little break from what they're doing and are also still sort of involved in school.
Perhaps I could get some feedback specifically on next year, where the conference, I think, the Strings Conference is in June. How is June as a month? Now, who are the... Well, I have really interesting feedback on... When is the conference precisely? Do you remember? It's first week in June, I think. We're talking about the first, second week in June, which is also the end of the school year. Is that... That's a problem for how many people in this typical audience? That's not the question. The question is it a problem? Sorry? In string theory, we're more flexible. Sorry? It helps.
This group of people, anytime. And I think that's our mistake for having thought we have to tie it to our conferences and our meetings.
And sometimes it's harder to stay for longer than to make two trips, depending on your own teaching schedule and other commitments.
And for myself personally, name the date. More people than that, to get more people, I think they're more tied to their schedule.
So what are, let's say, if you took next year as an example, say, from February through June, what are the bad times? January is a bad time? I see.
And then June
the first half of
January would be good. February is good because a lot of teaching time in February is away. So it's us in the north area, which would be, you know, a little bit of a problem. But usually at the present state, the problem is the presence of the year is easier. When you get into spring break, March and April, there's a little bit of a problem from there and closing the fall. And May is bad for those of us that are in
the May is bad?
For the AP, those of us who are in the AP. I thought the AP test was going to catch us.
There is a good time. There is a good time.
April sounds great.
too many days at a time. And to be able to tour Santa Barbara a little bit, too, was an asset to that. And you didn't have to worry about everybody's individual school schedules as much.
Maybe, but your school year starts later.
What?
Starts after Labor Day.
No, actually, we start on Thursday this week, this coming week. I would have to say a little earlier in the summer, June or July would be better, but the summertime was an optimum time, being that we didn't have to worry about the school district.
How many people feel the summertime is not an optimal time? It's not a good time. That is not a good time in the summer. How many people feel that it's the best time?
But can I ask something?
Yeah, Matthew.
Well, how many would not be able to come during the school year because you wouldn't be able to take the time off? I mean, there's a few.
My name is Francisco Isaguirre, and I teach at Camino College, which is a two-year community college in Los Angeles. I don't know whether it's, you know, I've been invited to come to these things. I was here the first time, and I enjoy it very much. I'm reluctant about giving you advice for more people to come because I don't want to be kicked out this time. But nonetheless, I belong to the Southern California chapter of the American Association of Physics Teachers. And there are a lot of high school teachers as well as two-year community college teachers. And we have a meeting once a year, and we have about as many people as you have here right now in these meetings, which are just regional meetings. Another place where you probably can get more people to come, it will be like the Physics Teacher, which is a magazine that all physics teachers get. And I'm sure that being, you know, this a talk like this will be very much appreciated by physics teachers.
How many of you read the Physics Teacher? Who of you would like to volunteer as a physics teacher to write an article in the Physics Teacher on this experience? I think that would. Sorry?
I'm not volunteering. I'm more than likely to be the announcer.
The what?
The announcer.
There is a.
Is the ET magazine.
Did we have one in the announcement?
No, and I would suggest whoever knows this address.
Please
put it down on your little form. Any addresses you've got that are going to help, I would appreciate it on your form, then we've got it.
Yeah, the announcement also has the addresses of all the chapters, regional chapters,
and I can send you an announcement.
Okay. I guess one reason I hesitated when I got to Melee is that some financial support would be given. Well, usually that means $100 or something. I had no idea how much it was supported until I applied. I think that probably shut a lot of people off. Mm-hmm. If you tell them that usually hotel and airfare, and this will cover my hotel and airfare, this will give people respond.
Yeah, I mean, part of the reason for that is is that our funds are limited. And so, we don't have set policies, and we go according to need. And so, we're not really able to make blanket announcements of that type. That's why, in fact, it doesn't take that much effort. If you're interested enough, and there is some possibility, and money is a problem, you can always inquire, which is what people do. So I'm not sure we can afford to blanketly say,
then you need to have some process
to
select. We do. Advertising suggestions again would be on the AP chemistry, AP physics listservs that many of us get announcements over the email. Also, I know in my state, in Arkansas, I have a science listserv that we get announcements of different...
Could you put all that down on your form with it, with the email addresses?
February, March, April's fine. July's good. September through November.
Yes, I just wanted to say on the timing again, I think any time middle of the first or second semester will be okay. Sometimes in October, first semester, and sometimes in March, or second semester will be okay with most teachers. Then that will also give a chance for probably students to be represented here. I don't know how you can do that, but probably you can do it on a regional basis and say probably five students from the southeast, you know, five from. And in that case, not only teachers are benefiting, at least the students will also have an idea of what is going on as far as, you know, the ramifications of physics is concerned.
The problem with students, part of the problem with students would be selection. How would we select? I mean, we're not selecting high school teachers. We trust that if you are high school teachers and you're interested enough in coming here, that already is a strong qualification. But with students applying directly would be very difficult.
And, probably if you have an idea of the teachers that are coming from a particular region, let's say, you know, one or two teachers from the southeast, you can tell one of them and say, well, do you have one or two good students in, from your area that you'd like to bring along with you? And we can take it from there.
We also are trying to maximize, I mean, we can do very little. We're trying to maximize our impact, and our hope is that by giving you this experience, that each of you are able to connect with many students and thereby, you know, maximize what we can do. I also am interested in comments on the web. I mean, many of you have looked back at our website at the conference that you took part in. Those of you who were here last time, gone back to that. But I'm interested in whether you think that has a life of its own, independent of these. I mean, there's a much, for our point of view, if we're trying to do good, we'd like to maximize the audience we can reach, and whether you think that that can be improved, that outreach through the web.
What's the address on your website?
Sorry?
The website.
Very simple. You're at ipb.ucsb.edu.
By the way, folks, we're not disinterested. It's just that his screw up, not ours.
All right.
I have to say, first of all, my wife is here as well, Diane. We were at the first conference, and, you know, from a personal point of view, I've been teaching physics for quite a long time, and my wife has been teaching as well for less time, but up there. And, you know, from a family thing, you know, we must have really talked at home about the first conference for months afterwards and said, my God, I hope they have another one, you know. And then this one came in and said, well, superconductivity, we know nothing about this. So, you know, it was a family thing. We were researching the material and prepping for the conference and stuff like that. So from a point of view of, in terms of our family intellectual experience, it's been just extraordinary, fabulous beyond really words. And one of the things that a lot of people here probably are thinking but really don't want to say is, you don't want to talk this up too much. Because if, you know, you really... we would kill to come back here again, especially for string theory, because we were really turned on by the black hole conference, and that was a pretty big aspect of that. So, you know, if you're looking, you're preaching to the choir about how good this conference is, because we've all experienced it, and everybody agrees that it's outstanding. I'm reticent to tell my colleagues, hey, listen, this is a fabulous conference, and have them go and not me. You know, that would be like the worst thing in the world. So, I mean, we'll talk it up, but you have to, you know, like give us like first dibs or something. Right, but I really would like to comment on the presentations today were just really outstanding, and I kind of know some stuff about superconductivity now, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
The couple things that I wanted to say was that last year it was nice for me to bring one student. So, you know, when you're talking about the selection process, if we could figure out, we've got between 150 to 200 students, all of us, you know, and we could, you know, wouldn't necessarily everyone would want to bring a student, but for those who would, it would be nice to be able to bring one. Mm-hmm. And advance notice of the webcast would be nice that I could give it to my students that are interested in string theory. I can't take 200 students, so I could at least put it on and get good class discussions when I get back on Monday. That would be kind of helpful to have them to have seen a lot of the stuff. So those are just two comments.
First of all, why wasn't I invited last year? thinking about how to attract more teachers, I know that if they are like the teachers at our school, they would look at this and say, superconductivity, I can't get through the book as it is. But I think if it's and next year, string theory, they'll just, they'll laugh. Not me. I'll be here.
But are there more than one physics teacher in your school?
There are physical science and chemistry teachers. Yeah. But I'm just trying to. I've taught elsewhere, and I know the thinking. What you could do perhaps is say, in an effort to introduce more modern physics topics into the schools, you know, and then people can start saying, okay, you know, maybe this is the way we're going, we're moving toward more modern topics, you know, because how many physicists do, kinematics problems? Nobody does them. But maybe that way would help the teachers cushion it a bit. And I was also very pleased that when I graduated with my physics degree 30-some years ago, I still know that I recognized all this stuff here. Very good, helping my confidence here. Thank you very much.
On behalf of some of my more frightened colleagues, sometimes conferences like this can have a mechanism for allowing teachers to get college credit. Not a lot, but they can pay and receive credit for attending a course like that. It can make it more attractive for a teacher because our pay rate is based on credits. As far as the webcast is concerned, I think it's a great idea. I think it's got a lot of applicability. Maybe if we get some suggested teaching from like a list of things, content that you want us, or we could develop into a lesson plan along with the packet of information that we get, that might be a good idea.
Well, there is some of that on the web. At least at the website of the web of the broadcast, right? Have you seen that? You didn't put it together? No. Somebody did. There is at the website of this broadcast a list of material on superconductivity for high school teachers. Kevin must have done that himself. So, I think there you can indeed find such stuff. About the credits, I've heard that a bit from a variety of people here. I don't. Is that something that we have to do something about, or?
Sometimes they're not necessarily offered by the institution that's doing it. Maybe like Santa Barbara City College would be willing to offer credit for a course. That's the extension or extension.
Sorry. So they look at what we're doing and make some decision, and then you get credit from them?
You could be
or something?
You fill out a form once you get your research. If you want it, you have to pay $160.
You have to pay them?
Yeah.
What about us? You pay us $160, we could bring more teachers.
lastly, something that just an idea is, a lot of teachers do web quests and things like that. Sometimes it takes us a while to sit down and generate something like that after we've been to a conference like this. So if you could get a willing group of some of the physics teachers, I'm a dark side chemistry teacher, but some of the physics teachers could generate something and publish that in conjunction with you guys as, you know, here's a suggestion that you could use this conference in your class. It might help with the webcast and allow us to have students, send students here for particular pieces of information. And thank you very much for presenting all of you. It's very enjoyable, even from a chemist. I'm one of the frightened colleagues. I want to thank everybody. It's been a fabulous and very informative time. What I wanted to say is, has there been any local media exposure for this? And have you made copies of videotapes of any of this conference or the last conference, and made those available? I know that we have ITV down in San Diego, which is an instructional television, sort of cable access channel thing. And a presentation of this information in that format would probably make it at least more, everybody would be more aware of it in that venue, or if you'd gotten that kind of exposure. And I don't know if you have access to the statewide sort of system for that, or just local, but I think that'd be a big help.
We've mentioned advertising through the NSTA mailing list and the NSTA journals, but I think if you spoke at the NSTA National Convention, there are 10,000 or 15,000 science teachers from around the country at those conventions. If any of you spoke at those conventions and said, then come out to Santa Barbara, where we can spend a whole day with you instead of just 1 or 2 or 3 hours, you would get a lot of people from all over the country. Those conventions are in March and April. I'm not sure where the one is this year, if anyone else knows. San Diego, maybe?
That's the one in association every 3 years with the APS meetings?
This is National Science Teachers Association.
Okay.
That's different. It's another one in American. How many of you go to such a convention, for example? A good portion of you.
I just wanted to find out also in terms of getting attendance. I was looking around here. I'm probably the only minority around here. Sending out last year when I came for the doctoral conference. I just wanted to find out what effort we're going to be making in terms of involving, getting more minority involved in this. Especially, I'm sure, the national level cries that. Minority students are not yet privileged to be high scientists in Austin. It's important for us to actually see how best to do that. That's why we care for the country sometimes.
We spread, as Doreen remarked, we spread our net very widely. Over 5,000 teachers were sent letters. What?
Yeah, actually this year it was 7,000.
7,000. So you can see what, that's why you can understand why we're a little disappointed. This is a response of less than 1%.
We get a lot of mail. Ours is just another flyer.
That's what everyone tells us. So what?
Green thrower was good though.
Yeah.
So.
No, I'm
you get a lot of mail, and so the, in other words, for something to catch, well, we would love your suggestion.
Yeah, probably sent to the school principals, and probably our eyes will come in there.
The school principals?
Yes. Yeah. And it's a potential assumption, and they're saying, you should announce to the faculty members, and please make the targets on this one. We make that for this one.
Uh-huh. But then you have to...
Never going to go through administration.
Sorry? I was just wondering if everybody got home early enough, because you have my home address. I got it right in time, but for the last one, I barely got it in time for the deadline.
For the
black holes. he had to go through the school district and through all the mailing rooms, and then finally to my desk, and I barely got it within days of the deadline. So I don't know if that might have been a problem for some other people.
So a long lead time is desirable.
Yeah.
Too long is too far.
Last year I came because of the topic. Once I saw that it was on black holes, I figured, you know, this is something that that I would like to go to. I returned this year because I was here last year, and I don't care what topic you have from now on. I'm one of those others that I will be here. Superconductivity is something that I really haven't read about or something, because it's something that we seldom cover, or I seldom cover in my high school physics class. Another thing that hurt was the timing. I am already into the second week of school, and the other colleague of mine from a neighboring school that came with me last year, he just changed schools. He signed up, he got accepted, but then he had to email that he wouldn't be able to attend because this was his first week of school, and he says, I can't go with you. This is a new job. I can't be there 3 days and then ask for 2 days off to go to California with you. But the timing and I don't know, but black holes, that was a very interesting topic.
I think the way our district runs is if you email the district science coordinator, and then they could forward those to the school science chairs, who could forward them to the individual teachers. That would disseminate the information without any paper.
How would you get a mailing list of district?
Well, what you can do is just through the state California Department of Education.
For
California, but for us, the web, the email address is as simple as itp.ucsb. I mean, it's simple. One way or another, get that list and do it that way, I think would be a wonderful thing. Second off, I've used the website here many times, back to your original question. I like it. Not necessarily look at the notes that on the things that I went, but just sort of cruise around and, oh, yeah, that sounds interesting, and sort of blow through the notes on it. Thirdly, superconductivity, even though it should be, is not nearly as glamorous as black holes. I think that's the comments that are people making, because it doesn't get nearly the advertisement. But I can use this stuff in my physics and chemistry classes more concretely than I can discussions of black holes or superstrings, even though they're incredibly interesting, because we do talk about it. And I want to thank you, because now I have more stuff to talk about. It was very interesting and eye-opening, and also gave me an opportunity to go back and, like this gentleman was saying, find out something more about it before I came here. I only look like a half an idiot instead of a full idiot.
As already stated previously, I was fairly clueless when I got here. But one of the things I was wondering is, what do you get from us? I mean, we walk out of here going, whoa, my head's full. Do you guys get anything from us? Because we certainly don't challenge your brains, I don't think.
Well, Doug, you guys want to... Doug, why don't you sit down and let Laura or some of the other people answer. Laura, what do you get from us?
Well, what I would like to have happen is, after each of our talks, to have another 10 minutes for just questions. And instead of going talk to talk, while it's fresh in your mind and you're kind of taken up with the talk, you're less scared to ask questions, at least I am. So just to get people asking right after that. And what I get from you is really good questions. I love to give these general talks. I've given general talks at AAPT meetings before. And frankly, the kind of questions I got asked from people that aren't stuck in thinking certain ways and certain equations and how they're taught are often the most beneficial. It's also refreshing. And there's also the aspect that I also want to educate you, because you're going to educate people that are going to make funding decisions. But I get a lot from this. For all those reasons are important to me. And I would like to hear more from you. And like I said, if my email isn't listed, I'd be happy to give it to you. Just tell me how you got to know me, because I get a lot of email too. And if you have suggestions or comments or questions, I'm here because I want to learn too, not just to tell you what to do. Anybody else want to say something?
Look, all of us here love science, at least up at the front, and for that reason, I never miss any opportunity to talk with colleagues at any level for the purpose of strobing our society on the fact that science is something important. It's one of the greatest creations of Western culture. And you people are on the front lines, and in the way the people who really matter. So that's what's in it for me, actually. But.
Yeah, I have like Laura. I do a number of gigs like this also. But nowhere near as many, I'm sure, because I'm not as good looking. I think this is about the right size. You know, I guess we'd have to clone everybody here up front, you know, many times, to if it got much bigger. I understand the ambitions of the organizers, but I am very comfortable in a group like this. I spoke to a group in Texas a couple of months ago. It was about three times this size. It was run by the Texas Energy Science Symposium. And each one of the teachers, all from Texas, brought a student, which sounds like a good idea, but I noticed a lot of them were very busy being chaperones. And there wasn't a lot of opportunity for talk and feedback and interaction with the teachers. Let me echo Bob Laughlin. I love doing this. I love what I get from talking to you, like out at the table. I deal a lot with bad science, with crazies, with nuts who are always inventing free energy. And I don't know if any of you follow a buddy of mine named Bob Park. He's a professor of physics at the University of Maryland, and he writes this column called What's New every week. It's free, and if you don't get it, I really urge you to do that. And we're in a democracy, and everybody votes regardless of their education. And if we have a populace who thinks you can take a solution of arsenic in water and divide it by 10 to the 30th and have a medicine, I just described to you, homeopathy. And they vote in, $100 million Institute for Alternative Medicine in NIH. I think that's a problem. And I think, you are on the front line of that in teaching the students to take a critical and skeptical attitude, regardless of the scientific discipline. And I'd like to hear from you, how's that going?
Well, I guess I haven't had the chance to tell you how exciting I find doing science, but I think all of us here have just a phenomenal time exploring the universe and trying to find out how things work and how ultimately we work and where we belong in the whole situation. And I think we all really relish the chance to try to convey this amazement and enthusiasm about the universe to young people. And I think this is one forum in which one can reach an awful lot of young people, through your students. And I think that when one's in doing something which one enjoys so much and one finds so inspiring, one really wants to share that, as I say, with young people, for them to also be able to experience this.
Yeah, I would say, do not get discouraged. I don't think your response, perhaps, is an uncommon phenomenon, really. I mentioned it to my colleagues. I think one perhaps may have some financial difficulties. The other person says, well, when are you going? And I said, well, we'll leave on Thursday and come back on Sunday. And I'm from New Hampshire, and I spent 15 hours getting here yesterday. But I think it depends on the individual teacher. I was really interested in the topic, and I was last year, but I didn't get here. And I think if the teacher has an interest, they'll find some way to try to get here, no matter when it is. And I would just say to encourage you, don't get discouraged, keep it up. I think the topics that you're talking about are new, they're innovative, they're really good ideas. And I would look at it this way. You've hit a lot of us people. You just did, what, 45 or 50 of us here, perhaps? Look at the ones you got, and do not worry about the ones you did not. We'll take the information and use it.
I guess I'd like to echo more or less the same sentiments. I've been involved in trying to do some science teacher training, particularly in chemistry, over the last decade or so. And we have had very similar experiences, finding that a great many of the science teachers do not have any particular desire to come to meetings, no matter what time of year it is. And so I would not worry very much about them. I would hesitate to suggest trying to entice them to come for other reasons, like credit. When we did do that, we found that people would leave at noon. You know, we got the credit, goodbye. And you know, they weren't really interested in the purpose of the meeting. And so I think it's better to stay with those people that really have a desire for more knowledge, rather than just recruit a large crowd.
Can I ask one? Right, I'm reminding you're supposed to see that red box there. That's where the forms go. Well, in doing this kind of thing, which takes a certain amount of work and requires us also to get a certain amount of support from the NSF to do this, we need some feeling as to how this is going. And clearly you all are enthusiastic. And you were enthusiastic, those of you who were here last year, enthusiastic last year. And that's one of the reasons we're doing it, because we bask in your enthusiasm. It's contagious. It's wonderful. We like it. But there's a more... It would be nice if we could have some way of answering the question, is this effective? So it's effective in that it turns some of you on, and they're excited, all the reasons we've heard. But does that somehow go down to the affect your functioning as teachers and affect your students? So if I could get some feedback on that, I've heard a few private incidences of that, but more generally, is this working somehow? Is this having some effect on your students?
Yeah, that's about what I was going to say, as a matter of fact. And to echo what Dave said, I've gone around the country for different conferences, and I run into the same people at the same things. It seems that a lot of, for one thing, I don't think there's many, there are a lot of people who teach physics, but I don't know if there are that many physics teachers out there. They get it because they've had three courses in physics in their own staff and nobody else will take it. And unfortunately, that's the case in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. And when I get something in the mail, I don't get that many things in the mail that say physics. And man, I get something in the mail that is directed at physics, I don't have to look at it twice. I reply. But as far as how it affects my students, I've been out of college a long time. And we were talking at lunch, a lot of the things that I really want to know about weren't even around when I was in college. You know, I rode a dinosaur to school, I think. But so when I get these, you know, the resident nerds that I love dearly, and they will ask me questions about fields that I really haven't had time. I've been too busy teaching and haven't had time to do any research on it. And if you go on the internet, there are 500 hours worth of stuff, and how do I know which one to pick up, you know? And so when I came down last year for the black holes, I was able to answer some questions at a very superficial level, but enough to get the kids interested in could point them in the right direction. The same thing for the superconductivity. I know beans about it. I know beans, but not squash about it now. You know? So, but at least I know where to direct the kids. And that's, I don't care what y'all put on. If I can come, I will, because it gives me some information that I can point my kids in. And because they always want to know stuff that I don't know. And if I can, I don't have to know it, but if I can have some resources to tell them where to go to look, like your website and these other things, it's worth it to me. And my school district feels that way because they send me. You know, they give me the day off. They're not going to do it the last week of either semester because that's exam time and they frown on you. Somebody would have to give my exams. They wouldn't be thrilled about that. But after the first part of the second semester, they seem to feel willing to let me boogie out of there for a day. And I don't know, it's the resources. Because there's no way. I mean, I am not a physicist. I'm a physics teacher. I wish I were a physicist, but I'm not. And I tell the kids that, but I want to be able to point them in the right direction, and this helps us to do that. Thank you.
Well, my only recommendation is to make it longer. I hate seeing these great speakers get cut off and running through their transparencies at the end. Give them 2 hours. That's fine. We're not going anywhere today.
Watch it. We take that.
That is dangerous.
I'll be staying after, and you can all give me a private lecture.
She's right. Be careful what you wish for. You can get it.
I could go on for 6 days.
When I spend more time on the plane than I spend at the conference, you know, I'd just as soon have more conference. But the best part about it is it's inspiring. We come here from all over the place, and we get pumped up about this. It's not to make a pun, but it's cool stuff. And when we bring that back and can get the students excited about it, and even if we don't, you know everything, if we can get the students excited about it and give them some inkling of that there's something that wasn't invented by Newton and Galileo, you know, and there's something that's still happening right now in physics that's not in the textbook. It's too new for that, or too interesting for that, you know. That really helps out. My question, though, is, assuming we can't afford thousands of dollars for a SWID magnetometer, we can all buy the little Meissner demonstration kit, but what else can we do physically in the classroom?
I actually think, it's not hard to build a Mr. SWID type thing yourself, and I don't know, I don't know where you can get those things, but I'd be happy to find out, because I know that being able to see the current voltage relations, I know people can make these real easily. Although when I think about it, I think about my resources, which are very different than yours. But I wouldn't be surprised if something like Edmund Scientific might have, and you wouldn't have to buy a home, Mr. Squid. Do you know, Robin, where you can, besides buying the Edmund Scientific floating kit, where can you buy something that shows these kind of IV characteristics?
Can we bypass your system at all and get something cheaper?
Can they just buy? I mean, seriously, they can just buy the chip, or just a broken superconductor and stick leads on it. They'd be able to put the current source and measure the voltage. They could probably get a hold of scopes, or even just chart recorders.
Yep, that would be possible.
And how much do you think a chip like that would cost? Just a broken superconductor, something that's put when you buy epitaxials, right?
Well, one of the modules itself would still be several hundred dollars that the person would then need to make up some sort of cool, electronic box.
But that might be a money-making thing, was to sell people the chips and also instructions on how to do this. And that would be a science project that would take the entire school year, right? Because, you know, they're not going to be like they better not be. I don't let my graduate students actually ever leave. But think that when they're done, they would have put everything together, and you might make money that way as an education option. So,
can I ask a question?
I'll take a cut.
How many physics departments have phase-sensitive detector or lock-in amplifier?
Who has a lock-in?
Yeah, who has a lock-in?
nobody. Because there's so much you can do with that one instrument. You make an RF switch, essentially out of these kinds of pellets. You don't have to remember thin film, C square.
Can we just ask you, that distinction you demonstrated, is it choosable to provide a section of that for the last one? Is there anything you can do with that to demonstrate the
Sure. Again, this is where this lock-in amplifier is a kind of key instrument. The cheapest ones I know run around $900. And I guess that's a lot of money for you guys. But the answer to that is you could write to American Superconductor Corporation and they would be pleased to send you, you know, a couple centimeters, put four probes on it, dunk it in nitrogen. And it'll go to zero with a resounding applause from your class if you. But you need something like a lock-in amplifier if you try to do DC equipment.
No, but you need a lock-in for your materials. But if you start with a ceramic, with a chunk of the ceramic, a little long, skinny piece, right? Resistant, resistivity. You want something long and skinny so the voltage drop. All you have to do is stick a battery, a switch, maybe another resistor on it, okay? And then just put a voltmeter on it. And what you can, you don't even need a charcoal coater, you can start cooling it in the vapor of the nitrogen that you stole from UCLA, right? And you start bringing it down in the vapor and you see the voltmeter start to come down, thump, when you get low enough. And that'll do it. And then that's the kind of thing you can float on a samarium cobalt magnet, which you can also buy from Edmund. I don't have stock in them. That's where I got this stuff. Well, you can measure it on all the pieces that I measured in the early days, and we're checking out for new superconductors that I made a billion measurements a day, were pieces that were, you know, 6 millimeters long and a millimeter thick. Millimeters. And the thing is, these aren't like metals. Metals, the electrons zoom right through. These are ceramics. So the resistivity of these things are 100 to 200 to 300 times. In fact, in the ceramics, it could be 500 or 600 times higher resistance than a metal. And what Paul is talking about is that when it goes superconducting, if it's already a big thick chunk of copper, it's not far to get to zero resistance. You don't see a big change on your voltmeter. But if you start out with something that's kind of resistive, which is a chunk of the ceramic, and then you cool it down, you're up at 100 ohms or 1,000 ohms or something, and even 20 ohms, then you chunk to zero, which is better than a micro-ohm. And so then you don't need a lock-in, having done this, most of the stuff well, DC on the fly.
How many have good volt ammeters? Okay.
go pull the one out of your car.
Okay, there are two. Some people in the back.
Just in response to you asking how it affects our students, I know last year before I went to the Black Holes Conference, I had a student that was always asking me about black holes, and I had it on my calendar. Well, I'm going to go this day, tell you all about them when I get back, and at least then I had, you know, here's the book that you should read, and of course he finished the book before I did and told me all about it. But anyways, it's mainly the enthusiasm we have when we get back to the classroom, and, you know, I go there and say, you know, I went on this conference on black holes, and of course they all look at you like you're nuts, and why would you do that? But after a while, you know, after you talk about it for a while, then they start getting interested in it. And even if you just have a couple days at the end of the semester where it's like, well, we talked about all this stuff that nobody researches anymore, and here's the 2 days we talk about modern physics, which is what you could do that's really interesting if you, you know, want to go on to this in college. I think that gets a lot of students interested because a lot of them don't know what you can do with physics. And when I was in college, I didn't even know. I was like, I'm not going to major in physics because, you know, all you can do is teach. I didn't know I was going to be a teacher then, but.
But anyway. On how it affects our students, unfortunately, I had to miss the teacher night Thursday night to get here, and missed a day of teacher in service. Darn. I did bring my wife with me, and on my door, I told the parents that would come by my door looking for me where I was going to be. And of course, when my wife left, I had to put one on her door that said she was going to be on the beach at Santa Barbara. But seriously, the students know that when I went last year and I came back, and there was an article in the newspaper that was similar to the one that was in here. One of the teachers, I didn't know that, sent it in. And I had former students coming back to me because we studied a little bit about black holes and read Stephen Hawking's book, and they came back to me and asked me about that experience that I had here. And so it kind of elevates us all to a level of expertness, particularly in our own little, well, I'm a small rural school, so definitely, you know, not too many people even know Stephen Hawking, you know, but it does elevate you to a certain level of expertness. And I think being able to come here and go back, it lets those students know that you have that certain level of professionalism, that you know exactly what you're talking about, or you have the resources to get there. And so I think that puts us up a little bit higher when we come to these things. And I come to these things because I like to learn, but I come to these things because when I have a student ask me a question, I want to know where I can get the answer, or at least give that. I appreciate being able to come.
I find this conference to be particularly valuable because of the inspiration that I walk away with. Also, I found that I had a seventh grade homeroom last year, and one of the students was particularly bright and happened to mention that he had read Green's Elegant Universe. And I said, well, did you understand it? And he said, well, I didn't understand all of it. And I said, well, that's because you didn't start with this book. And I was able to give him a list of the books to start with so that he could get to the Elegant Universe and actually understand it. I think the confidence that I have as a result of this was evident in the classroom as well. Additionally, it really makes a big difference and a big impact in your students when you can put in a video and it happens to have Kip Thorne and Stephen Hawking in it. And you can pause it for a second and say, I met this guy. You know, I have my photo with him hanging on the wall. I had the opportunity to cover a class for an ill colleague and did a lot of things on the universe and the solar system. And a lot of the kids in that class were special ed kids. And yet when I put in that videotape and I stopped it and said I met them, I had their attention instantly. And I felt that was probably one of the most effective tools that I had, was the ability to draw them in and say, well, I know about this, I've met these people, and they're looking at these people on TV, and anyone on TV is an idol. And that made me an idol. And it was great, because any classroom that I walked into, it was like, oh, she knows, look at that. She knows him, you know, and it went like wildfire through the school, so I was an instant celebrity. So I really do appreciate these conferences, and I would love to be back next year.
Someone really counts, right?
I'd just like to make one follow-up on resources for making, do you have the ability to teach superconductivity a little bit more effectively? We've been teaching it for about 10 years now, and up until this conference, which will change how we teach it, I'm sure, most of the teaching consisted of showing an original videotape that was made and shown on the Nova PBS series about 1989 or so. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that, but there's some nice little sections in that tape. We show sections of it, not the whole thing, but there's some nice little sections on that tape that show some demonstrations in regards to, you know, levitation, superconductivity. There's some of the people who are here who are also on that tape also as well. And it also gets into a discussion about how we fund science in the United States, which is another little interesting side conversation that you can get into. So that's available. You can buy that through publishers, or not publishers, but through the science the science companies for about $20. It's, you know, it's not expensive.
We have a constraint. Our last and speaker, Bob Laughlin, has
and
a,
best.
And best. Our best tonight has a plane at 6.
No, 6 something. I'll have to go check.
6 something.
But we're not late.
You're 5 minutes from the airport.
Yeah, but I have a big suit.
So it'll take me 10 minutes to get you there.
Okay.
But we should break now for coffee and then convene here in, say, 10 minutes.